How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern with Brian Alvarez, Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday. Happy Dynasty Sunday. Show's kicking off soon here. AEW Dynasty, a new pay-per-view to the lineup. Big main event. Can Swerve do it? This entire card is stacked. We're going to break this entire card down. I want to hear from you guys. What do you guys think of it? Are you happy with it? A lot of discourse online regarding this pay-per-view. Listen, it's a stacked pay-per-view. Also, last night, Broken Matt Hardy returned to TNA. What does this mean for AEW? What does this mean for him and that company? But he's back with a broken gimmick. Got a big reaction in Vegas. Nice. It was like 1,500 people in that building. Also, what I'm thrilled about, and we're going to talk about this a little bit in, when we get to SmackDown. New WWE tag titles. It's rare to see the majority of wrestling fans agree on something. It's really rare. I got to tell you, almost everybody loves this belt. The biggest criticism was, well, I could have had some color. You know what? This thing is beautiful. Back to an old school tag title that I grew up with. Obviously that and a whole lot more here on the show. Again, Dynasty coming up. Big pay-per-view for AEW. Let's see what they could do. Will we get a surprise? Will Jack Perry show up? We're going to find out this and a whole lot more when we continue with the show, Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Big pay-per-view night for AEW. Dynasty. I wonder if they'll ever talk about where this was supposed to be. That's what I want to know. Maybe we'll find out. This is an interesting show. I'm gonna go into this because on paper this looks fantastic. Like most AEW pay-per-views, they look great. I'm curious how we do getting out of this show. Where we are post Dynasty. We're gonna talk about this in the next couple segments. But before we do that, let's go into WWE SmackDown. Big week for WWE. Obviously, this is the first normal week post-WrestleMania, and things have settled, right? Give it a week or two, things kind of settle down, feuds start getting built up, we kind of see the direction they're headed. We saw on Raw the new tag titles. MG, my producer here, am I wrong to hate those things?
The Raw ones?
The Raw ones, yeah.
The Raw ones, it's almost like they were... Okay, there's two things I liked. When they did the ones on SmackDown, I realized these two titles couldn't be any different.
Any different. Shane. I know, but you know what's the problem? One looks so much better than the other one. That's the problem.
I mean, yeah, but they're different and we will get used to them.
I don't like the SmackDown one, but I don't like the Raw ones, but the SmackDown ones are stunning. They did a great job with this. Raw was out of Montreal. We got to see a big moment for Sami Zayn to headline that with Chad Gable. Chad turns on him at the end, suplexes him as he's embracing his wife. I thought it was a fantastic, fantastic moment. And then SmackDown, the show ended with essentially Kevin Owens. I mean, the story was that Kevin Owens got destroyed, right? That was the big story here.
Yeah, it was the top of the. It was in the middle. It was the top of the middle hour. This Solo Sikoa character they're creating out of nowhere, the fact that they were able to get Roman cheered 8 days like 8 or 9 days after losing the title, and he was presumably, arguably one of the most hated people in wrestling as far as a heel persona, and they were chanting, "We want Roman." I mean, in 2 weeks, when he comes back, he's gonna get some huge babyface cheers.
Oh, 100%.
I don't know if it'll last, but
yeah. SmackDown started with AJ Styles defeating LA Knight. LA Knight came out to a great response. This is a match to earn a WWE title, undisputed championship match at Backlash. So it's going to be AJ Styles and Cody for the title. You know what? Cool match. Have we seen it? We haven't seen it, have we?
If they've done it, it's been years since it's been done. So it'll be very refreshing.
I'm wondering if we got it in New Japan.
Yeah, we may have got it there.
Maybe I don't know if it was around the same time frame, but very cool. Glad that going in that direction, you can see the trajectory now, which is good. It's not a nothing match, you know, for his first match back. First match as champion, I should say. Nick Aldis, Triple H came out to award the new tag team titles. Austin Theory, Grayson Waller were given the new titles. Triple H wanted a handshake and they disrespected him, and Aldis threatened them. You know, that guy could still wrestle. I don't know why he's not.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, I love this persona, this William Regal-esque.
Yeah.
Something about authoritative British guys that works in this.
That works always in this, yeah.
Straight. They're very straight, narrowed, and they call it down the middle, and they side with the baby faces most of the time. I liked how the presentation, and we'll see later in the segment with Paul Heyman. I think he works. He does good.
Yeah, I thought this was good too. Street Profits defeated the New Catch Republic, Legado del Fantasma, and AOP for shot at the WWE tag titles. So they're starting to set everything up here. They're telling you the big picture for the pay-per-view coming up, which they've done a great job with. Bloodline segment. This was great. Solo comes to the ring with Paul Heyman. They were looking for Kevin Owens all night. Heyman starts talking, and out of nowhere, a We Want Roman chant breaks out. All of a sudden, we see Kevin Owens getting thrown under the stage, in the back. I mean, he's getting beat up, and he's covered in blood. Tama Tonga comes out. What a great presentation to Tama Tonga.
He looks good, too. He looks
fantastic. Oh, yeah. You know what? Doing it perfectly. Tama Tonga comes out. Behind him to continue to beat down. Solo would hit the Samoan Spike on KO and they end the segment. This was the big segment from the show. This is telling a story here. And I don't know, does this lead to a civil war where The Rock runs one side and Roman and the Usos are on the other? I mean, there's so many moving parts here that when Roman comes back, it's going to tell a great story.
As long as we don't get this turning into NWO, black, red, white, green.
You know, Japan. Listen. Bloodline Japan. Yeah, we should do all of that.
No.
Yeah. It's happening. Here you go. All over again. Everything new is old. We're going to start talking about invasion soon.
Please no.
Yeah. All this threatened Heyman also about this. Santos Escobar defeated Carlito.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, and Naomi.
That was my favorite part.
Aldis, yeah. Santos Escobar defeated Carlito, and Naomi defeated Bayley via DQ. Tiffany Stratton attacked both of them. So that's leading into that. You know what? It was a fine SmackDown here. Also, on Friday, they released a bunch of people.
Yes.
Who did they release? Do you have the full list?
Five names we know. Yeah. It should be right below. Keep reading down.
My screen is locked and I can't, so that's why I'm asking you to do it.
I'll read it down. Jinder Mahal, Lee, Zion Quinn, Veer Sangha.
Yeah.
Those are here we go. The five. People that weren't in a story, basically is how I looked at it. And according to Sean Ross Sapp, some of these people's like trajectories like changed and they weren't progressing.
Yeah.
So and you know, Jinder, you could say budget cuts, say whatever. Xia Li was scheduled to be in that battle royal on Raw for the women's title on Monday. So this was came out of nowhere. So
well, Jinder also said he quit. That's what he had said. And now I guess he could have that match with Tony Khan. That big feud. Him and Hook, right? Wasn't that the match? Him and
that
Hook?
That was it. Yeah, that was it. Now, we'll see where they go with these guys.
Listen, the last time Jinder got released, remember, last time he got released, he got Super Jack, came back, and won the WWE title.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's possible.
Yeah, he can do it. Some of these guys, I mean, some of these people will benefit from this, right? Just like last time. Now, Veer and Sangha, I don't know. But the rest of these guys, you know, Zion Quinn was rarely used. So yeah. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. okay. You know, it is an interesting time for them over there, obviously. And yeah, I found it interesting that they did a blood angle on SmackDown. So
that was interesting on yeah, Fox.
On Fox. Yeah. On Fox. So I, you know, this is a different direction to the company. This is, they're alluding to things are going to change. I don't know how much they're going to change, but they're alluding to that, especially with the Netflix stuff looming for January. They really know that in a way to keep the interest, the perception that there's something happening, they got to do these things. Which, I listen, guys, I this is great. You know, I thought that was a really good angle. I thought, you know, when you use it properly, it works. Wrestling has changed. It's back to wrestling. When we come back, we're going to talk about more wrestling here. We have a lot to break down with AEW. Especially out of that scrum, out of the press conference that Tony held this week. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the pay-per-view. We're going to talk about Collision and a whole lot more here on Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Tony Khan held his media call late this week. A couple interesting tidbits here. One, he was asked about CM Punk making a statement about paying his own medical expenses when he had the tricep tear. And Tony stated that he was unaware that that happened. And if it did, he would be covering the cost. It would reimburse him. I mean, that's the right thing to do. If it's true. As far as running the all-in brawl footage, he stated that TBS was happy with the rating and it added entry to the FTR and Bucks match on Sunday, which is a ladder match. He also confirmed AEW and Ring of Honor Trios titles will be unified today on Sunday. He also expects the full library of content, AEW content, to be part of the next media rights deal, which is still exclusive to WBD right now. So, a couple parts here, right? I can't say there's progress being made on this deal. If I'm going to speculate, you know, if anything is done close, if we're close to anything, upfronts are happening. And if we are close, I'm willing to bet that they're trying to make it for upfronts to announce this. Forget about what the internet is saying. I saw so much discourse about this, how it's not going well. And Tony had to hire somebody. I mean, that's a very normal thing to hire a firm to negotiate your deal. Very normal. At any point of the deal. Things change. Timelines change. Outside elements affect things. We know, you know, the TV industry is totally changing between linear and digital. What you thought 6 months ago may not be the case today. You know, they're disruptors that enter markets, like a TikTok. TikTok's a disruptor, and it's changed the entire way that people consume television. You're competing with everything. All these things play a factor, but I'm willing to bet that we'll find out something soon. But tonight's pay-per-view, interestingly enough, is on multiple platforms. I believe it's on YouTube TV. You could order it on YouTube TV. It's on Fight. It's on BR. It's on traditional pay-per-view.
I believe YouTube TV is international, though, right?
Remember they opened it for the last one.
Yeah, they opened up Triller or Fight TV. I know that.
Let's see. Watch pay-per-view events. Let's see on YouTube TV. How do I even do this? I don't know. I'll find out. But listen, they don't have a BR is not the answer. BR is a band-aid to a dead platform. So once that deal is done, we know that they're going to go over to wherever, whatever Max is going to provide them Just now, it's a matter of, okay, are we going to, is this a paid service? Or are you paying extra monthly for AEW access? Are you paying monthly for pay-per-views? Because they are doing 11 pay-per-views now. 15 or 13 with Ring of Honor, right?
Something like that, yeah, absolutely.
Or 12 with Ring of Honor. I can't remember right now. I have it in front of me. So, you know, it becomes, can your audience justify spending $60 every month when the other guys are free, you know, essentially. Interesting stuff. But we also got a great collision last night. I very much like this Bunkhouse match. What did you think of it? I mean, Danielson's nuts, and he cut that promo at the end. He's like, everybody's asking me, why the hell am I doing this?
Do you know what I liked about this the most? Jeans and knee pads.
Jeans
old
and
school,
knee pads.
1985
yeah.
Bunkhouse bra. I loved it.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But let's start off with Adam Copeland, Mark Briscoe, Eddie Kingston defeated Top Flight. Powerhouse Hobbs defeated CJ Esparza. CJ Esparza, yeah. There you go. Thank you. I'm talking to myself like I got a producer in my ear. Nobody's talking back to me. Just me responding to myself. Don Callis said that he cashed in a favor with New Japan office to make Powerhouse Hobbs for the title. I don't know if they made a boo-boo and they didn't mention that.
Last week, you mean?
Yeah.
When they made the match.
They made the match, but they didn't announce it was for the title.
Right.
Very cool. Maybe listen, that's great. I think that's it. Now, is the IWGP the main title on that show?
That's a great question. It seems to be positioned that way, but he's not on the pay-per-view tonight. I imagine we'll hear him like somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll do commentary for the
Danielson
Ospreay
match.
Danielson match.
Wow, you know what? That's wild, right? I think about it. This pay-per-view, and we're going to talk about it in the next segment because I want to get through this, but this pay-per-view is so stacked that you don't even have Mox on it. Wild. So Callis makes a favor, calls in a favor, and now it's for the title for Wednesday. The Guns with Jay White defeated the Acclaim with Billy Gunn. Danielson does a promo backstage. He said Don Callis didn't have confidence in Ospreay, which is why Callis sent in the family after him. Ospreay entered the frame and said he had nothing to do with those guys attacking Danielson on Wednesday. So they're showing the separation here. Bunkhouse Brawl.
They're starting to split him. Yep.
Blackpool Combat Club against Don Callis' family, Takeshita, and Kyle Fletcher. I like this new look for Kyle Fletcher. He looks great.
Really nice.
Yeah. He looks great. I like it. And this was a fantastic, fantastic match. We also got a fired up Willow Nightingale cutting a promo on Julia Hart. You know, Julia's hurt. So I don't know how this match is going to go. I really don't know, because she's a little banged up. Obviously, the story is to put that title on Willow to, you know, start that program with Mercedes.
Will this be a big smoke and mirrors match, you think?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Yeah, we'll find out very soon. Okay. Sky Blue defeated Layla Hirsch. And the main event, Pac and FTR defeated the Elite, Okada, Nick, and Matthew Jackson.
This was so good.
Yo, Okada's so good. He's so good, and he has such a great presence. And American style Okada is great. You know, where do we go from here?
You can see the difference in performance levels watching him and a lot of the other guys. It's so obvious.
Yeah, and then we had Rampage also. The high-flying 420 four-way elimination match. Rob Van Dam defeated Commander Isaiah Cassidy and Lee Johnson. I wonder if we're going to get Van Dam on the show tonight. I hope so. Right? I would love to see Van Dam on tonight's show.
I mean, they put him over. He's, you know, people love him. I actually like it when he's there just a little bit. Maybe he does a run-in or something tonight. I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, it was fun.
Sakazaki defeated who did she face?
Emi Sakara. Emi Sakara.
Yeah, there you go. We also had the Rampage exclusive Angelo Park. Oh yeah, they showed it. Angel Parker in the ring, presumably to announce his retirement when Ruby Soho comes out and says they have to fight for something because she's pregnant.
Nice
big moment on that
nice
show.
Cool segment.
Yeah. And then we got Kyle O'Reilly, Matt Menard, and Rocky Romero defeating the Undisputed Kingdom, Roderick Strong, Matt Taven, and Mike Bennett. All right, cool. Cool. We got a lot going on here. A lot of stuff happening. You know, I got to tell you, though, that their TV has been a lot better. And Dynamite was a good show, and I thought this was a really good show. I like this Saturday show.
I do. What do you think about them moving Rampage permanently to that
10 o'clock? You know, this is the second week we've had a three-hour show.
I kind of like it there. I don't know. It probably won't work in the fall when football comes back, but for now, I don't mind it.
I don't know. You know, they're trying new things. I mean, obviously, this was for a reason they did this, but I don't think it's an accident. I think they look at it as, well, let's see how this does. You know, like Battle of the Belts did fine with the rating. It didn't plunge last week, and I'm willing to bet this isn't going to plunge. And then they did well with that Rampage after Dynamite thing a couple of weeks ago too. They had to preempt them, so I think they're playing around with the idea. I think the bigger question for AEW will be, you know, what does WWE do with their schedule with nights? You know, does Raw change nights? Does SmackDown change nights? Does SmackDown need to be on a Friday? I know they never like being on Friday. They love Thursday. But then you got football. So let's say SmackDown moves to a Thursday. Do you move to Friday now? Can you move the show to Friday, Collision to Friday? And what does that do to your numbers? Now you're on at 8 o'clock on a Friday, opposed to a Saturday at 8. I'm willing to bet there'll be a big shift.
There's definitely going to be some movement as far as nights we're watching wrestling.
Yeah, but, you know, we'll see. We got to wrap it up here. Going to a quick break and coming back with Dynamite. No, I'm sorry, not Dynamite. Dynasty. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. AEW Dynasty starting soon. Let's talk about this. What a stacked card. This is a fantastic show. This is the first Dynasty that they're doing. There is a purpose to adding the show. I will say that. And we're going to see it play out. Whether or not they commit to what they want to do or not, I don't know at this point. But there's a reason why the show was created. There's a reason why they felt that the need to add another pay-per-view, especially looking at how they've done with their pay-per-views. The last pay-per-view, which was Revolution, did over 180,000 buys. Obviously, it was Sting's retirement, but that makes it the third or fourth most watched pay-per-view for AEW. Very cool. Let's see where this lands. Let's go through the card here. Pre-show match, Orange Cassidy and Shibata versus Shane Taylor, Lee Moriarty. Cassidy, Shibata takes it. What do you think, MG?
Yeah, that get the crowd going off the bat. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
We also have Trent Beretta and Matt Sydal in the pre-show. Fine pre-show matches. We're seeing the change with Trent Beretta. It's happening.
He's got to go over here, right?
Yeah, he has to. We also have AEW Trios match, and this is on the pre-show, and this is a unification match. Okay, that's how stacked this show is. This is on the pre-show. It's a unification match for the trios titles. Max Caster, Anthony Bowen, and Billy Gunn versus the Ring of Honor six-man tag team champions Jay White, Austin Gunn, and Colton Gunn. Who should win this? Bullet Club, or should it be the Acclaimed?
I think it needs to be the Acclaimed. I want to see Bullet Club Gold go on to something else. I feel like they've been mired in this circle, and they just keep doing the same thing. Maybe Juice Robinson comes back, and that'll spice things up. And
you know what? I think you're right. Since Juice
has been out.
Yeah, since Juice has been out, it's slowed down. I forgot. And you know what? That We constantly talk about the MJFs returning and the Kennys returning and, you know, Adam Cole returning and what how great that roster is going to be when everybody is back firing on all cylinders with that top tier. That dude is in that mix for sure.
He was one of my favorite parts about that show.
About Collision,
when they were together. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he got hurt, it kind of spiraled it. So maybe he comes back in. They do something different with him. I mean, if they bring him back in and they keep the titles on him, sure. But
yeah,
I also, with you, I think Jay White needs to be in a singles program.
He needs to be doing something.
Very near future.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those, you know, between Jay White and between Malachi. I mean, there's so much talent there that you could do so much with. Adam Copeland, Mark Briscoe, Eddie Kingston versus Malachi Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews. This is obviously leading to Adam Copeland and Malachi, right? This is the plan, and they're just extending this?
Probably Double or Nothing, maybe.
Maybe a Double or Nothing. Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, I would have loved for this to be a singles match. You know,
I think the story here is going to be... The story here is that Adam Copeland's team working together. But I think House of Black takes it.
House of Black takes it. By the way, tickets are on sale currently for Forbidden Door. And here in Long Island, which I'll be at. That was supposed to be at Arthur Ashe. They're taking me 10 minutes the other way. Arthur Ashe is 10 minutes this way. UBS is 10 minutes the other way. Let's see. What else do we have? Ah, here we go. Bryan Danielson, Will Ospreay. This very well will be the match of the night. These two are going to do everything possible. I would be perfectly fine this being a 30-minute draw or 20, whatever draw you want to do, 20-minute draw, and they go for Double or Nothing. The words write itself. I don't want to see either one lose.
Right.
And I guess that's someone's the beauty in this. Somebody's going to have to lose. But, I mean, it should be Danielson. But I feel like Danielson loses too much. So if there's some sort of weird upset where Danielson gets the upper hand on Will, could that change anything?
I think this is where we might see the split with him and the Don Callis family. And
maybe they come in, they interrupt, they do something.
They cost him, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
This is a match I did not think I'd be fascinated by at all, and now I am very curious about, and that is Hook versus Chris Jericho. Jericho has to beat Hook here.
Yeah.
He has to. He has to. And I'm not saying that I'm advocating for Chris Jericho to be the FTW World Champion. I just think that he has to beat him to add in a level to this. Wacky match that now I'm very curious about. Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly for the international title. We have an international title. We have an intercontinental. We have a world. We had an all-Atlantic. Now it's the international.
Don't think about it too much or your brain will explode.
Yeah, we need a South regional title. We need a mid-South title. We need an all-Pacific title. Who takes us?
Soon there will be titles for every
Yeah. The Alabama Heritage Cup title. That's a new one that they're going to announce.
I think Roderick Strong retains here.
Roderick Strong retains. Cool. Okay. I hope they do a little bit more with Kyle, because it's been kind of like they announced it. They're doing their thing, but it's like fourth or fifth on the list. It's getting totally lost in the shuffle.
It needs to get built up a little more. It needs more time to simmer and get going. It just feels like this is beat one of a multi-layered story.
We also have Okada. Continental Championship on the line. Okada defends against Pac. This is going to be an unbelievable match. No question about it.
I'm going to push back on you when you said the Danielson Ospreay match would be the best match of the night. I'm going with this one is the banger of the night.
I mean, listen, man, you know, Roderick and Kyle are going to have a banger, right? Ospreay and Will are going to have a banger. Okada and Pac. I mean, it goes on and on. Julia Hart, Willow. I mean, but that obviously Julia's banged up, but that story is a set up Mercedes and what we do here. Mm-hmm. That's coming up. Fine. Great. Then we got that ladder match for the vacant AEW tag titles between the Bucks and FTR. We got Tony Storm. I know. Well, that one's going to be great. I mean, the Bucks should take this for sure.
Yeah, as far as to build up their heat and their smart.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
This is where we get Jack Perry.
And that's where we get Jack Perry to join in on you know, just being total jerks. You know, and maybe that's the big surprise that they have. So Jack Perry shows up. That's another layer here. And then they do it again at Double or Nothing. They could have a rematch at Double or Nothing.
Maybe he'll throw someone through glass.
Is that what he does? He just carries sheets of glass now with him? Well, someone's going to get hurt. I'm telling you. That act is going to get tired.
They got to be careful with that for sure. At some point, they got to go look. It's in the past.
I think you know what it should be. Every time he comes out, it's just a bigger sheet of glass. He starts off with like a little hand mirror, and then now he's like hauling from Home Depot just sheets of glass.
Like, what's going on? They got a flatbed truck with the whole pallet of it.
Jeez. Yeah. I don't know. That Jack Perry, he's a troublemaker. AW World Women's title on the line. Tony Storm and Thunder Rosa. They'll have a great match.
Don't skip on this one, yeah.
No, but you know what? I got to tell you, I like that Tony is changing her style a little bit back to how it was. The vaudeville act is not working in the ring.
No, yeah. And they try to, you know, they turn the lights on and they try to tell you, hey, she's taking this seriously. I thought the promo she gave on, I believe they showed it on Collision last night, where it was right after she had lipstick wiped all over her face and she cut this huge promo. Thought that was one of her better promos she's done with this character. And they didn't have the black and white filter on when she did the promo.
Yeah, so, I mean, they were telling you it's serious now with that.
Yeah.
AEW World Champion Samoa Joe defends against Swerve Strickland. This is interesting. Does Samoa Joe lose the title to Swerve? Does Hangman play a part in this? Does MJF play a part in this? Time has passed. The last time we saw Max was December 30th.
Wow, 4 months. Wow.
It's been 4 months already. Is it the right moment for Swerve? That is the question. How hot this man was in December and how hot he is today. I mean, listen, he's still on fire. That guy, he is carved out to be the future in that company on the top level. I think you do it. I think this is the chance to do it. What do you say?
Unless I have a better end game, yeah, I'm with you. Depending on what is the plan for Double or Nothing and going forward into the summer. But yeah, I think Swerve is champion. He's hot. Now would be the time to do it. But then again, Samoa Joe is so hot, too. So I'm torn on this one. And that's the great thing, right? It's like there's not a clear-cut choice
listen,
of who should win.
But listen, I'm looking at this card, and I'm saying, my God, there's no Kenny Omega. There's no Jon Moxley. There's no CM Punk. You know, there's no Max on this card. It's a very different AEW if you really think about it, because there's so many key people from a year ago that are off of this. But you look at what they've done here, and they're telling you a story. Swerve Strickland, they're making him tonight. You know, I mean, I'm obviously, right? He's the main event. They're making this guy. They're telling you he's part of the future. You have Hook in a position with Chris Jericho, where he's in a pay-per-view position now. Jack Perry's returning. You know, there's a lot of change happening. This is a very different... Okada's on this card this year. Will Ospreay's on this card this year. Yep. You know, this company is changing, and they're setting up the future of their brand. But you look at this and you can't say this is a bad show, but yet only 6,500 tickets have been sold for this show. So what's the problem? Perception. Perception is the problem. They're going to have, this could possibly be one of their greatest pay-per-views that they've put on, and we come out here tomorrow, and all those post-shows that you see that happen after the show talk about the greatest show ever. But what will it mean? Will they sell more tickets with Swerve as world champion, or are they going to continue to sell what they're selling with Samoa Joe? These are all great questions. I don't have an answer. But man, I hope Swerve wins it, and this is a great moment for him. Because the number of opponents that he could have, it's endless. Endless. Which I love. And that's a great thing about professional wrestling. That's a great thing about what they do at AEW. WWE is very glitz and glam. AEW is still the wrestling I'm familiar with, that I grew up with. And that's why we're going to be watching this show. When we come back, we're going to touch on a few more things to wrap up the show. I know a lot of you guys are getting ready for the pay-per-view. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final few minutes of the show. Everybody's getting their drinks. Everybody's ordering their food for WWE Dynasty that's coming on here. Also, last night, I wanted to touch on this. Matt Hardy. Lights go off. Lights come on. Matt Hardy's in the ring. He's now essentially challenging for the TNA title. What did you think of this? I mean, first of all, great presentation. 1,500 people in that building in the Palms Casino. TNA, it looks so much fun.
Yeah, it's a different product for sure. It's definitely getting better. I don't think, from what he said online last night, I don't think he signed a contract. So this is kind of a, he's doing that free agent thing right now.
Yeah, well, have you seen? He's in incredible shape right now.
Yeah, he lost some weight for sure.
I mean, he looks incredible. I mean, the good question is, does he go back to WWE? Is there an opportunity for him to be there? The Bo Dallas stuff is happening, you know? There's a chance. I don't know how it'll fit in. You know, maybe they do the broken gimmick one last time and they try to do it the proper way over there. I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer, but he's obviously in TNA and he's challenging for the title. Good for him. You know, and it's amazing, right? That crowd ate that thing up. If it was on normal TV, maybe nobody would have reacted the way they did. It just shows you the presentation and how you position people tells the story here. Interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Guys, this was a blast. I'm going to go order my food. I'm going to order my dinner. I'm going to get some drinks. And I'm going to sit and I'm going to order this pay-per-view and watch it with you guys. All right, that's it. We're done. See you all next time, guys. Take care.